Hello, everyone. Welcome to the weekly newscast here on PWPonderings.com. It was another busy weekend full of results, new champions, some very interesting title changes. But first, we have to start out talking some shop about the website itself. So, of course, co-founder Kevin Ford is on the line. First off, Kevin, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the newscast. It's going to be fun, I think. It better be fun.
We always try to keep it fun. We always try.
Okay.
Also on the line is Ciara. As always, Ciara, how are you doing?
I'm lovely. It's going to be fun. It's never boring. Kevin makes it sound like we're boring or something.
We're anything but boring.
Yeah. I'm here to save the show, guys, just like 45-year-old Chris Jericho.
And that went over so well.
That happened.
It's not. It didn't just happen. It's still happening. Like, that's a thing that is currently going on in our lives.
Somebody get Jericho before he just kills us all.
It will happen. And, of course, Brian is also on the line. Brian, how are you doing, man? How do you like Chris Jericho?
I think he's fine, but he's definitely recycling his gimmicks way too many times. I don't know, come up with something new, like something relevant.
Are you saying what was it? I heard fruity tooty booty or something like that was a catchphrase going on now in 2016? Something like that?
Oh my god.
Well, in order to be a catchphrase, it has to catch on, and it is not doing that.
Ah. True fact. So, like I mentioned before, some changes going on in PWP. So, Kevin, tell your listeners what's going on.
Yeah, and I guess there's been speculation as to what's going on, so... Jerome Cusan, the senior editor of Pro Wrestling Ponderings, he has decided to take a leave of absence for the website, just due to personal reasons. Don't want to get anything further than that. He's healthy, he's fine, but he definitely feels like he needs to step away from social media and Pro Wrestling Ponderings and all that for the time being, just to get his head straight, take some care of some things in his personal life. So, much like Chris and Jerome did when I was diagnosed with lymphoma about a year and a half ago, Chris and I are going to give Jerome as much time as he needs, and we'll welcome him back with open arms whenever he decides he wants to come back, if he decides to come back. As far as we know, he does plan to come back at some point. But as far as people who listen to this newscast or who read the website, not much will change. Just Jerome will not be on the newscast for a bit. And yeah, that's pretty much all there is to say about it. Yeah, anything else you want to add, Chris?
Yeah, you know, we do plan having new writers hopefully join the team. Everyone that has checked out that article, you've sent your submission. We're still accepting them. CGSTong at pwponderings.com. Send them there, of course, with a sample. And, yeah, obviously we wish Jerome the best. You know, knock on wood, he'll be back on the website and taking care of stuff. But, of course, we got to keep the show rolling. And this weekend, of course... gives us that opportunity. I'm going to start off kind of, I don't know if this is ironic or not, but with AAW The Chaos Theory, which Jerome apparently got to commentate on. I believe it was Phil Colvin who wasn't able to make it out, so which also meant he didn't tweet results because, well, I guess he didn't have time, but that happened. But it sounded like a really fun show, so this took place January 15th. Some of the major news out of it, Drew Gulak defeated Lewis Linden. Kongo Kong, apparently a website favorite now, defeated Dan O'Hare and Wheeler Utah. Heidi Lovelace and Kimberly defeated Allison Kay and Brittany Blake. The Hooligans defeated Zero Gravity to retain their tag titles. Sammy Callahan defeated Chris Hero to become the number one contender for the AEW title. At the next event, the Heart of War will take place Friday, February 19th. Sammy Callahan will be challenging for the title, plus the return of Tommaso Ciampa. The AAW Heritage title changed hands. AR Fox defeated Davey Vega, and as we mentioned, we were talking about this off-air before we started the show, Davey Vega's first defense, and it's like that got off to a great start. And then Eddie Kingston retained the AAW Heavyweight title from Trevor Lee, retaining it with a back fist, followed by the suplex and the sliding forearm. They shook hands afterwards, and of course, Sami Callihan's going to be defending up against him at the next show. Kevin, you know, any thoughts on this? You know, with Jerome commentating, he didn't tweet any thoughts on this, but it sounds like it was a pretty good show, particularly with the title change. And as I mentioned in our year in review, Eddie Kingston for me is just kind of a can't miss guy.
You know, Jerome and I think a couple other people had mentioned that the Sami Callihan Chris Hero match is really good, and Jerome and I are not particularly big fans of Sami Callihan. So for him to give a match like that, its props definitely hold some weight. So that could be pretty good. Although I'm a little bummed because, like, it makes sense for them to give Sami Callihan the title shot against Eddie Kingston since when Sami returned, he attacked Kingston and all that. But I'm always down for an Eddie Kingston versus Chris Hero match. So not getting that's kind of a bummer. I like Davey Vega, so him losing the belt in his first defense is kind of a bummer, too. But, you know, what can you do? Maybe there's a story to go from there. And I've been watching a lot of Drew Gulak lately, become a super big fan of him, so him and London could be real good. So, yeah, overall, that sounds like a fun, interesting show. And February with Sami versus Eddie Kingston and Ciampa returning sounds also pretty great to me.
Sarah, any thoughts on the title change? Aaron Fox, I mean, if he's used more in AEW... And like Kevin said, I'm also a fan of Davey Vega, so going forward, we'll see what they do with that.
Yeah, I'm wondering what they're going to go for, if this is going to lead to, you know, a tug-of-war for the title, or is just moving Davey Vega onto something else. It's kind of disappointing that this happened in his first title defense, and he didn't get to have at least another title defense, but it has to be leading to somewhere. It just can't just break off like that.
Brian, Sami Callihan just all over the place after his release.
Yeah, and him being the main focus at the top of the card makes perfect sense. You got to, you know, ride that momentum all the way. And maybe we'll actually see Sami Callihan take the belt from Eddie Kingston, even though, you know, we just saw Kingston recently, I think back in November, just won the title. So usually with the AEW, it's usually a long title run. But then we just, you know, as we just mentioned, Davey Vega losing the Heritage title right off the bat. But in terms of that, because I just watched... We'll get to that later. We reviewed the AEW Windy City Classic, and his match with ACH was good. But, you know, honestly, I don't think he's that kind of championship material. You know, even though it's a secondary title, I don't know if he's made for that kind of level. I mean, he's good in the mid-card, but I just don't see him at that championship kind of level. So maybe they kind of saw it too, and maybe they figured AR Fox was a better choice. Maybe a heel AR Fox, perhaps, like he is in Beyond. So maybe that's kind of the plan. And maybe they'll build up another rematch and maybe we'll get the title back. Who knows? But I really don't even see him at that level anyway. So,
Ring of Honor held two shows this weekend under the Winter Warriors Tour. January 15th, the first show with Dalton Castle defeated Will Ferrara. HGH defeated Silas Young and Moose, pinning Young, of course, keeping Moose strong, possibly for a big opponent at the 14th anniversary. If you don't know who it is, you really should take the time, but I won't spoil it. Michael Elgin defeated Tim Hughes. Big match, of course, for Big Mike. Not really. Red Dragon defeated Chris Sabin and Frankie Kazarian with Chasing the Dragon on Sabin. In a Women of Honor match, Kelly Klein defeated Solo Darling. In a match I heard that was actually pretty good, so we'll see. Adam Page defeated Ken Phoenix, and his feud with BJ Whitmer continues. Roderick Strong defended the TV title against, of course, a suitable challenger, Curry Man, and retained his title. And... I don't even really know what to say about that. I'll get to that in a minute. Adam Cole defeated Alex Shelley after a distraction from Kazarian Sabin, so Shelley is going to continue that. ACH came out for the save for Shelley. And in the main event, the Briscoes and War Machine, the Ring of Honor Tag Champions, defeat the Young Bucks and All Out Express. So, you know, Kevin, I know that you don't always get a chance to listen to the newscast, but I'm sure you've heard, you know, Jerome's thoughts and mine that I kind of mirror that. Ring of Honor has these shows. It's great for the talent. They're getting paid to be on them, but not always, I guess, that quote-unquote can't miss. And with a TV title being defended against Curry Man, who I know is a lot of people's favorites, he's an international superstar, but much like Masada, I mean, what exactly did he do to deserve a TV title shot? I mean, come on. It's Curry Man.
I agree with you. Like, what did they do to deserve a title shot? But at the same time, I kind of complained on our year-end show that I thought the Ring of Honor roster was getting stale. So even having, like, these fun matches for Roderick Strong to have, I don't think really – doesn't really do any harm. It gives him some title shots. And I really think what it's ultimately building to is he'll have a versus the world shot against somebody from New Japan. I'm hoping somebody like Ishii or something like that. That would be super great. So I think that's kind of what it's going to. And, you know, Curry Man's fun. That's fine by me. I really thought he was going to win the title there. No, but I agree with you. Like, yes, all those reasons you said are very good for the house shows, but I'm one of those people now who, unless it's a television show or a pay-per-view or like a house show with like the New Japan guys, I really just don't pay that much attention outside of reading the reviews at our website. Because if there is something that's particularly outstanding, I do want to attempt to see it. But by and large, it seems like the house shows are great for a live audience to go to a night of wrestling in their hometown, but as a viewer at home, doesn't really do much for us.
Right. I mean, you look at just that main event, the Briscoes teaming with the tag champions to go up against the Young Bucks and then All the Express, and they hit the Briscoes get to pin Red Titus, which kind of makes ANX seem unimportant, except they're supposed to be going up against War Machine and being really strong challengers. Then you have the Young Bucks, who, of course, highest paid Ring of Honor talents, really great tag team, but still, just kind of there. Adam Cole versus Alex Shelley, I'm sure that was a great match, but that's kind of what we say about a lot of Ring of Honor shows.
You know, I don't know about that, because A, it ended in interference, and I just don't know. I feel like Alex Shelley's kind of been phoning it in since he's been back. I was like the biggest Motor City Machine Guns fan in 07, 08, and loved Alex Shelley's run in the Embassy, but nothing he's really done in Ring of Honor. Like, I liked his Time Splitters run with Kushida, but nothing I've seen from him on the American Independence has been anything all that great.
Brian, just we have... Oh, yeah, what?
I was saying, just one man's opinion, though.
Yeah, well, but hey, you know, I mean, it follows this also. Red Dragon, Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, just a few months ago, two of the most important talents in the Ring of Honor roster, they still are, but middle of the card, defeating Chris Sabin and Frankie Kazarian, part of a faction that I don't know who cares about it. I mean, Brian, what is going on here? I mean, you have Kyle O'Reilly in PWG being used one way. Bobby Fish is still great. And here they are in a basically meaningless tag team match.
You know, I guess because of the contract negotiations and the what I've heard is that they're not even signed completely yet with Ring of Honor. Like, so they're kind of in that role where, okay, we can't really push them too hard, so we have to keep them at a certain level just in case, you know, they take off or whatever. And, you know, you shouldn't be having kind of this, like, problem, I think. You should just be, like, you know, figuring out which talent you're going to build around and just, you know, give them what they need and go from there. I mean, if they can afford the Bucks, then they can afford Red Dragon. And there's no way I think they should lose Red Dragon, especially now since that they're focusing on Kyle O'Reilly. And it seems like the way that they're building up these pay-per-views for the year, it seems like they're going to do a three-way at the anniversary show, probably give Adam Cole the June title shot, and then eventually build to Kyle O'Reilly getting another title shot and probably winning it. And that's my call for 2016, is that the way it seems that Kyle O'Reilly would be billed to win the world title, but... You know, just in case he doesn't, I guess they have to play it safe and kind of put him in certain roles with Bobby Fish and kind of put him in that mid-card role for now, kind of keep him on ice until they're ready to push him fully. And, you know, depending on, you know, what New Japan does with their contracts, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, the anniversary show would be maybe Kyle O'Reilly's last show with Ring of Honor. But it wouldn't surprise me, you know, because the way that New Japan is being shaken up and the way their contracts are going to be now. I mean, they're starting to do two-year deals and stuff like that, so it wouldn't surprise me if they just took all the New Japan money and said, screw this negotiation stuff, that we'll just go to Japan and that's it, do any independence we want.
Makes sense. I mean, that's kind of what it is. Ciara, do you have any want to watch, you know, any of this show? I mean, like you said, the last few matches sound good. I did hear really good things about the Women of Honor match, so, but that's probably going to be put online for free anyway.
Oh, true that. Some of the matches I would want to watch, but one of the matches I probably wouldn't want to watch is the Women of Honor match, and it's not how, like, I've voiced my opinions in the past about where I'm just disappointed with the Women of Honor. It's just that pairing does not interest me at all. I would not put Klein and Darling in the match together. It's just, I don't know. I just don't see it happening, and yeah, not watching.
I apologize if this has been asked before, but is there a reason why she's not going by Mary Elizabeth Monroe in Ring of Honor?
I think it probably has to do with the whole thing of she doesn't want the rights to that name she uses on the indies.
So it's like a branding thing.
Yeah, that and probably wanted to change character and whatnot, so.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I know that on previous matches, they've kind of alluded, not that she's in the decade, but there have been times when she's been either accompanied by BJ Whitmer. I mean, we all know that they're together, but they've never strongly tied them. But yeah, I was kind of wondering that too, just because we all know, so.
Yeah. Anyway. That's probably what it is. It's, I don't know. I think they're trying to set up a brand with her, and they're kind of using her as the powerhouse of the division, and it's, I don't know. It's just they got Hendrix there. They got Veda Scott. They've got a couple of girls there, but it's like they're trying to build a division on the back of her. So I guess that's what they're doing. I feel like they're trying to do the whole Nikki Bella push with her, trying to make her the main focus, but I don't know if that's going to work out.
Let's get her and Scarlett together as a tag team in Ring of Honor. I liked what I've seen of them in AIW.
Yeah, I would like that. I mean, hey, it makes sense. With the Women of Honor, you really don't know what the momentum is for that right now. The matches still go up for free, so it is what it is. Like I said, continuing with results, one major result, Revolution Pro UK held high stakes on the 16th, where Zack Sabre Jr. became the new RPW British champion, defeating AJ Styles via submission. It was said to be a really great match. There was also a Ring of Honor World title match on there. Jay Lethal defeated Mark Haskins to retain. So whoever is keeping track of these world title matches and the results, as we used to do on the forum, you got to mark that one down. So that did happen. Also, CWF Mid-Atlantic held New Year's Knockout, their big show starting off the New Year's. A lot of good stuff. Obviously, you're going to be watching it, CWF Mid-Atlantic worldwide every week. But in the main event, the Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Champion, Rory Wilkins, he defeated Lance Lude to retain his title. Also saw the TV Champion, Smith Garrett, and Chad Sterling defeat Cedric Alexander and Mason Maddox. Zane Dawson and Dave Dawson and Eric Andrews defeated Evan Banks, Aaron Biggs, and Nick Richards as well. So yeah, check them out on YouTube. They put their matches out for free every Wednesday, and it's really good wrestling. You should definitely check it out. The past episode had Brad Attitude, Trevor Lee, John Skylar, Lance Lude, Chet Sterling, and Roy Wilkins in their big main event for Battle Cage. I encourage everyone to go check that out. Again, free on YouTube, youtube.com/CWF Mid-Atlantic. Like I said, Ring of Honor had the second show also on the 16th. This one had a little bit more, I don't want to say meat on the show, but slightly more important. You saw Mike Elgin defeat Adam Page. War Machine went up against Frank Kazarian, Chris Sabin defeated them. Roderick Strong, I mean, in a match that a lot of people said was fun, albeit, I guess, slightly short, defeated Cheeseburger. He retained the TV title. So there you go. Cheeseburger, a recent favorite in Japan. So you have that. The Briscoes defeated Silas Young and the Beer City Bruiser. And in a match that I have universally seen on Reddit, on Twitter, on a couple Facebook pages, as match of the night for one reason or another, Don Castle defeated Delirious. We also saw Red Dragon defeat ANX, Adam Cole defeat Moose, and the Young Bucks defeat ACH and Alex Shelley. You know, Kevin, I know you're a big Don Castle fan, and him going up against Delirious, on paper I could kind of see that, but match of the night, can you imagine?
For a Ring of Honor house show, actually, yeah, that isn't the most unbelievable thing I've ever heard.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe they had a good match. Adam Cole against Moose, I think, also sounded kind of fun, but that's where we are.
What's Adam Page's deal this day? Is he a babyface again?
Kind of. He's going up against the Decade, so he kind of turned on them, so that makes him kind of a de facto babyface.
So what is the Decade now? It's a Hurt, BJ Whitmer, and Colby Carino?
Pretty much, yeah.
Great. Swell.
Yeah. It's a great faction that we all care about.
Is Colby Carino still in the top prospect tournament? Or you lose?
Yes, he is. I'm not even sure whether those have started airing.
No, they haven't.
Okay,
so... Oh, wait, are we not talking spoilers on this show? I forget.
You know, I mean, he's in the top prospect tournament, so yeah, I don't know whether he's won or not. I'm
okay. Okay. Behind. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Try to avoid that. Try to avoid spoilers.
Sorry, guys.
But anyway, yeah. Again, two fun shows this weekend from Ring of Honor. Lots of other results. As always, every weekend, pwponderings.com/results. Send them in to us. mailbag@pwponderings.com. Guys, let's get into some news, and might as well start with Ring of Honor. AJ Styles will be in Duluth, Georgia this Saturday night. They have another two shows this weekend, still under the Winter Warriors tour. You know, there was, I guess, some people wondering whether Ring of Honor would have AJ Styles left. I know that some people reported that he wouldn't be filling out those dates. Apparently he will be. So, I mean, this is a big thing, probably one of the last chances to see AJ Styles and Ring of Honor, if all the rumors are true. We don't really know. But I don't know. It kind of feels like you know, they announced it today, but it also felt like they weren't going to, almost as if this was just a reaction to all the quote-unquote the reports that he wasn't going to be. So, I don't know. Ciara, your thoughts on this? I mean, using a guy like AJ Styles, maybe they just didn't know if he could show up there, but now he is. You know, what? Any thoughts on this?
I don't know. It's a weird situation with AJ Styles. You really don't even know what's going on. I guess the rumors that's going around is that this is supposed to be his last appearance for Ring of Honor, so I guess he's going to show up, and, you know, the rumors about what he's going to be doing the next night, so I don't know. At this point, would you even go and have this last booking at Ring of Honor if you're going to show up on a bigger wrestling company's platform the next day at one of their bigger events that leads to an even bigger event?
I don't even know what bigger event you're mentioning. There is nothing bigger than Ring of Honor in Duluth.
Of course.
Right?
I mean, really. Because, you know, nobody cares what's going on in Texas.
Absolutely not. Kevin, do you even know what she's alluding to? I know there's some type of battle royal thing, right? It's a gimmick show.
Well, I don't know. I don't think there's a battle royal at Evolve 55 on Sunday. Maybe that's news to me, though.
Exactly.
But either way, I mean, it's a nice, courteous thing for AJ Styles to do. You know, knowing Ring of Honor fans, I do feel like having AJ Styles' last appearance will sell a couple more tickets. It'll sell some autographs, which is good for him, good for Ring of Honor. And I don't think they've announced his opponent yet, but it's already a pretty strong card. And, you know, with the Young Bucks going up in title matches and the Bullet Club of Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows there, if you're a Bullet Club fan or you're just you want to see some of the Bullet Club guys in their presumed last appearances in the Ring of Honor, hey, you know, why not?
Exactly. Exactly. Why not? And like we mentioned, two more shows this weekend. January 22nd, the Bullet Club versus the Ring of Honor champions, Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, and the Young Bucks, with Amber Gallows versus Jay Lethal, Roderick Strong, and War Machine, with Truth Martini. Amber Gallows versus Veda Scott in a Women of Honor match. I know a match that we've all been clamoring for. ACH versus Adam Cole, Kenny King versus Michael Elgin, Cedric Alexander versus Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish versus Silas Young, Frankie Kazarian versus Moose, and then Red Titus versus Caprice Coleman, Adam Page, and Dalton Castle in a Four Corner Survival. On Saturday, the show that will have AJ Styles, we're going to see the Bullet Club with Amber Gallows versus War Machine. It is a ROH World Tag Team title match, so who knows? The Bullet Club may be taking those titles somewhere. Who knows? Matt Jackson is getting a World Championship match against Jay Lethal. Not entirely sure why, but Nick Jackson is also getting a TV title against Roderick Strong. So, again, you know, we mentioned they're two of the highest-paid talents there. They're a great tag team. I'm sure there is an explanation as to why they're getting title matches. I just haven't heard it yet. Adam Cole versus Stevie Richards, All Night Express versus Cheeseburger and Moose, Corey Hollis versus Dalton Castle, in a six-man mayhem match, Adam Page, Frankie Kazarian, Will Ferrara, Silas Young, Caprice Coleman, and Jay Briscoe, and then Mark Briscoe versus Cedric Alexander. You know, Brian, reading on those cards, I mean, it's a good show. It's going to be good wrestling. AJ Styles will definitely make it special for the people on Saturday night. But again, you know, I don't know. These shows just don't seem like I have to go out of my way to watch them.
I get the feeling that the card might get reshuffled because, like, maybe they just found out they can use AJ today because they just announced it today, right? So, because I think there might be something to do with the fact that, I don't know if you saw that Instagram video or whatever of him cutting that promo in the UK saying that there's, like, an opening in the Royal Rumble or something, and he literally said the Royal Rumble. So I guess maybe the cat's out of the bag now, and maybe they just figured, hey, I guess we'll just, you know, maybe they were saving us a surprise or something, but maybe they can just cash in on, like, AJ Styles' final ROH appearance. And I get the feeling that something about the Young Bucks being in those singles matches, I think that's a red herring, and you end up with, like, AJ and someone against the Bucks, maybe, because I think that's the best way to go out. Because I think you kind of get that revenge angle for AJ that he never got in New Japan. And you get because I don't think there's been a match between the Bucks against AJ in any form. It's always been AJ and the Bucks together. So I think that'd be a good way to go out because that's kind of like a dream match still that they really didn't touch on. So maybe AJ and I don't know, not Christopher Daniels because that tag team's been done for like 10 years. I don't know, maybe Jay Lethal. I don't know, something like that. But I could definitely see that a card reshuffle and just kind of make it special for AJ.
Well, also, I mean, would he really want to wrestle if he is perhaps in some match the next day? I mean, really, would you want to chance it? I don't know. I wouldn't.
Yeah, but hey, if the Young Bucks, you know, working the Young Bucks, you can probably get away with doing a lot less than you usually do, because they'll probably do a lot more of the work. So
that's probably true. So as I said, you know, let's get some PWG news. Brian, you got to be super excited for this. Bowie taking place February 12th, All-Star Weekend 12, on March 4th and 5th. Tickets go on sale January 19th at 8 p.m. Pacific, so 11 p.m. Eastern. Brian, are you ready?
I hope I'm ready. It's kind of cool that they can sell out without having a card. It's, I guess this would make it, what, Mystery Vortex Bowie-ish? I don't know. They'll probably release a card before the tickets go on sale, or probably right now, and we don't even notice. But because as of right now, no talent is even being announced, so... Very interesting there. And these next three shows, we're probably going to get the big Roderick Strong, Zack Sabre Jr. rematch, because that's what they built up at the end of the January show. So it's also worth noting that it kind of sucks that the second show of the year is the second consecutive tribute show name, going from Lemmy to David Bowie. So, yeah, that kind of sucks. But, you know, life goes on, and sometimes you just kind of, I don't know.
Maybe well, one of the All-Star Weekend shows will be dedicated to Glenn Frey. I mean, because that happened today. That's kind of sad. So, for you Eagles fans out there, I'm just saying.
Wait, Glenn Frey died today?
Yes. Really? Where have you been, Brian?
Working at work.
Ah, well, yeah.
Okay, so there you go.
Spoiler for real life?
Maybe All-Star Weekend Hotel California or something. I don't know.
Exactly.
But,
I like someone's idea of Alan Rickman Star Weekend.
Oh, yes. That's brilliant.
That's awesome. That's brilliant.
I think that's a TJ Hawk idea, so shout out to TJ Hawk.
Okay, shout out to TJ Hawk. But yeah, interesting.
Yeah, 2016, not starting off so great.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. I guess you would know better since you've been to PWG shows. You know, they did All-Star Weekend 11 and then Lemmy pretty quickly after that. And Bowie and All-Star Weekend 12 are pretty close together. And obviously PWG seems like the immune company who can do no wrong. But do you think running shows this close together, people might have to start like picking and choosing, and they like, if they keep on this track, would that maybe affect attendance at some point?
I think it might, but depending on if they're going from like 10 to like 13 or 14, I don't think it'll change that much, because I think the draw is still like, it's still like people would say like, man, I wish this was more like once a month as opposed to like every 2 months. Cause sometimes there's no shows for like 3 months, 2 months at a time. So, I think it has to do with like this influx of new talent with the whole Lucha Underground thing and the UK talent coming in. Cause I guess, especially if you got the UK talent flying in, you can't just use it for one night. You got to use them for two nights. So the All-Star.
Oh, sure. Like that. I understand like doing an All-Star weekend, but like, you know, I just feel like maybe, you know, not having a show between Lemmy and All-Star weekend, maybe would have made All-Star weekend feel more special. Not that Bowie will be a bad show or anything, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah, and I don't think it's going to affect the attendance at all. I think it's still going to be the same people, because there's always people like, we're like, damn, I didn't get a ticket, I can't go. So there's always people wanting to go. It's just they're not able to do it. So maybe this will, you know, accommodate more fans who don't have to be, you know, on the dial like I am every time they ticket. So, and there's also those people that like to fly in. So maybe this is more of a chance for them to fly in and experience it during the year. And,
sure.
And, you know, it makes sense. And they even alluded to it with Excalibur cutting the promo in January, saying, you know, now that we got all this talent coming in and we have all this demand, that we're going to put shows on every weekend now. And I guess he was exaggerating, but I guess now it was slightly exaggerating. So hopefully this will be a series of things to come, you know. So let's say that the next set of shows would be like, what, end of April, maybe Double Shot in May, something like that. Like, I expect the Double Shot to be a DDT4 Double Shot, finally. We haven't had one of those since like the early days, so I'm hoping for that, because that would make a lot more sense, and that way we can stretch out the tournament a little bit, and maybe even the Marshalls might turn into that. You never know. But, or actually, no, if they're going to label it All-Star Weekend, it's going to stay All-Star Weekend. So
maybe 2.0 will return.
Ha! That'd be sweet, actually. Because
is 2.0 even still a thing with Evil Uno? Is that still
somewhere? Evil Uno is not 2.0. That's Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, right. My bad. Got that mixed.
Somewhere in Canada, they're probably tag teaming, I'm assuming.
Right. Totally forgot about that. That's my bad. Not keeping up on that. But speaking of, that's kind of a good, I guess, into this. Chikara. Kevin, Chikara's doing some big things. And apparently have a really big match for National Pro Wrestling Day.
Yeah, so like they have their season premiere. They're doing a lot of, this year they're doing a lot of like same day doubleheader. So like their premiere is in Philly at the Wrestle Factory, but they're doing two shows on the same day, an afternoon card and an evening card. But yeah, National Pro Wrestling Day is the weekend after that. It's that Saturday in Reading, PA. It is free to attend. And today they announced that Princess Kimberly will be taking on Mickie James. Non-title match, of course. But I know they did that match in Maryland Championship Wrestling a couple months ago. But Mickie James, obviously a very big name for Chikara to get, so that's pretty cool. We'll have to see if her husband maybe follows suit. You know, nothing has been announced, but that'd be pretty cool for Nick Aldis, I guess is what his name is now, to be on one of those shows. But yeah, I think it's great that it seems like they're going to have that match main event the show. And that's in addition to they announced that Heidi Loveless and Solo Darling will both be on that show. And they just announced for the Young Lions Cup, Willow Nightingale from NYWC. So my question is for you, Sierra, who is Willow Nightingale?
Willow Nightingale is an up-and-coming wrestler that mostly wrestles for New York Wrestling Connection. That's most of the time where I see her. She's just now starting to get more so outside bookings. There's another promotion she works for up there. Its name escapes me, but they sometimes work with NYWC sometimes. But yeah, she's... from a little bit I've seen from her, I like what I see, and I hope in this year we get to see her more places like Valkyrie, WSU, other places. So, yeah, she's just starting to get her feet wet. So, this is a big deal for her to get this booking. It's really going to put her name out there and what she needs, because there's so many girls up in the Northeast right now that need this type of booking.
Right, and I thought it was kind of cool that I just noticed they added Solo Darling to the National Pro Wrestling Day website the other day, and I forgot that she did Ring of Honor this weekend, so it seems like, you know, I really only hear about her doing Shine and Shimmer, I guess. But yeah, so it's cool to see her getting these opportunities as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she's living back up in New York or around in that area now, so... It's also good to see her in other places. She was working WSU and she became very frequent there, which was cool. Shine, she was a regular there, and then it just stopped, and then they brought them back for her and Lovelace back at the last show. Shimmer, it was just like sporadic appearances, but now it looks like this, you know, working out in the Northeast could be a permanent thing, so...
Do either you, Kevin or Ciara, do you think that if it was a title match between Mickie James and Kimberly, and obviously, you know, maybe it's politics or whatever, but wouldn't that make it a little bit more prestigious?
Well, Chris, you have to get 3 points at Chikara to get a Chikara title match.
Yeah, I was about to say,
Mickie James' debut, she can't...
Do you not know who Mickie James is? She is a former TNA something champ, whatever they're called in TNA.
Okay, TNA Knockouts champion. Boom. She's a former WWE Divas champion, former WWF Women's champion.
But you know
she's
what?
She's the only one to win all of those titles.
But this is a bullshit double standard. You're like, why does Nick Jackson get a Ring of Honor TV title shot? And they're like, that doesn't make any sense. And then Mickie James, you're like, why isn't she getting a Grand Championship shot? That doesn't make any sense.
I didn't say it makes sense. I'm trying to be progressive, Kevin. Progressive.
Okay, how about this? Do you think eventually they'll work her into the storylines kind of like that Sean Waltman, Marty Jannetty kind of run where they build them up and she gets a title shot eventually?
Well, that could work. But here's the thing. It's one of those things that when I first saw the match announcement, I would automatically have presumed that it was going to be for the title because that's a big match. Alone, the thought of pairing Kimberly, who is like one of the hottest things on the indies right now, against a woman that's been wrestling for years and has made her name in big companies and is still doing her thing on the indies, Mickie James. That's a big deal. Like, you would think that they would make that a title match, but I understand Chikara has their point system and all of that stuff, but I thought it was for the title.
Listen, to paraphrase John Goodman in The Big Lebowski, am I the only one who gives a shit about the rules around here?
Practically.
Good call.
Yes.
Three points, folks.
I do.
She does none. Nada.
Doesn't Chris Dickinson hold like shot. three wins over Kimberly already, or am I just mixing universes up here? I totally am.
Oh, God. Let's just not have that ever happen
again. Can't cross streams.
Whoa. It's not. Whoa. Let's take that. That's a little too serious, Brian. but, yeah, anyway, yeah, no, I'm. That's pretty good. Great showing for Chikara. I think it's going to be a good match. And then all the Young Lions Cup eliminators on the show as well, correct?
Yeah, my understanding is that'll be all the Young Lions Cup matches will be on that show, which could be a very long show unless they do some sort of wacky format that they have yet to announce.
True. But it is free, folks, and you should totally give. They're giving to a great charity, so it's always, I think it's what, nationalprowrestlingday.com? Is it that, it's that long URL, correct?
Yeah, nationalprowrestlingday.com. You'll see who's all appearing. Chikara's really bad about putting all the information in one place, so like if you go to that website, you can donate and see who's on, who's like featuring these people, but it doesn't include like any of the Young Lions Cup competitors. You have to go like elsewhere to find that out, so it's a nightmare for somebody like me. But either way, you can go there and
if
figure
there's
out
only
the
some
about the
Tumblr
and
page
and
or some podcast that people could listen or go to.
I know. All that. Somebody should really do that. That would be like immensely helpful.
Really would.
to all the Chikara fans.
It really would. So switching over, something almost completely different from Chikara, CZW. They're holding their anniversary doubleheader show Saturday, February 13th with WSU. Quick results from the Smash versus CZW show that I forgot to mention. Some of the bigger matches, Jonathan Gresham defeated Tyson Dukes. Super Smash Brothers Player Unit Player Dose defeated TV Ready Machines. That's Black G's, Pepper Parks, and Mike Rollins with Cherry Bomb. And Johnny Gargano tapped out Sami Callihan in a pretty good match. And then Courtney Rush defeated Kimberly with Cherry Bomb. And apparently there was some big interaction between that. Ciara, did you hear anything? But I didn't get any details on it, so.
Not really. Only thing I've seen from that match is the pictures. And Courtney Rush just looks... Yeah, she needs intervention.
I don't even know what that means, but okay.
She's looking very out of her mind.
I see.
She's great. She's the same person as Christina Von Eri, right?
No. Completely different people.
Oh, well, maybe someone should tell Dave Meltzer that.
Yes, they should. And then... DJ Hyde defeated Hacker Scotty O'Shea, and Drew Gulak defeated Tariq. The Overdogs defeated the Dub Boys. Sounds like it's going to be a fun show. Should be up, I believe, on the Smash Wrestling VOD, so go check them out on their website. I believe it's only like $8.99, I think, per month. I could be wrong on that. But so far announced for WSU, the Spirit Champion, Leva Bates versus Hania, the Howling Huntress, Lufisto versus Jessica Havoc, Penelope Ford versus Brittany Blake. There's more to be added. For CZW, a ladder match for the heavyweight title, Matt Tremont versus Devin Moore. Leo Rush defends against Joey Janela, his Wired title. The tag team champions, the TV Ready, Black G's, and Pepper Parks, go up against Team Tremendous. Sami Callihan versus Mike Bailey. The Amazing Gulaks versus the Dub Boys. And Scarlett and Graves, Dave Crist, Zach Wentz, and Desmond Xavier versus Nico Sozio. Apparently he's going by that now. Bucks Belmar and Connor Claxton and more. Sarah, did I miss anything for WSU in terms of what they've announced?
They also added Jessica Havoc versus Lufisto.
I thought I mentioned that. Maybe I didn't. But yeah, that's a big match.
And that's a big match because that match has been, I want to say, maybe 2 or 3 years in making. I would have to go back and read up on it. It's been so long, I forgot that it was supposed to happen. Havoc was champion, and then when they did the whole storyline of where, remember she didn't show up for a booking, and it was because she was working TNA that weekend, and I think Lufisto was supposed to challenge her for the belt at that show, and Dave never went back and did that match, so this has been a long time going, and then plus they did that same kind of storyline with Lufisto, too.
Well, there you go. So, hey, but it is a pretty big match. Completely admit
mm-hmm.
that.
Definitely.
So, some other news kind of came out. You know, first off, should mention WRN Live. They have expanded to the streaming app Flips. So, if anyone has used Flips, I believe Ring of Honor has used them. I want to say TNA has used them also.
TNA is using them. And that's
they are.
How they're
wow.
That's how they're calling themselves.
On pay-per-view, really, because they're on Flips. Great.
So you never know. I think WWN might actually get more buzz than TNA.
That is true. That really could be true. But yeah, so WN Live now on Flips. But so speaking of, you know, Kevin kind of foreshadowed this. Evolve has a big triple shot this weekend. I know I'm pretty excited for that. They're going to crown their first tag team champions. Kevin, I believe you're going to be covering the shows live and posting results on the website, possibly?
Yes, that is correct. It's we're supposed to get somewhere between 8 and 20 inches of snow in Virginia. So as long as that is my power does not go out or my internet doesn't get messed up by heavy snow, then yeah, that's the plan.
Awesome. They have announced in the tournament on Evolve 53, that's Friday, the first round, Evolve champion Timothy Thatcher and Zack Sabre Jr. versus Chris Hero and Tommy End. Other matches will include Roppongi Vice, Johnny Gargano and Drew Galloway, Caleb Collin and Anthony Nese, the premier athlete brand, Drew Gulak, TJ Perkins, the Bravado Brothers, and Team Tremendous. Also a style battle round robin tournament with Fred Yehi, Matt Riddle, Peter Casa, Tracy Williams, and more, that continues into Evolve 54, where they have all the tournament matches, the round robin tournament, and then Evolve 55 as well, with all the finals for all those matches. The big thing about this event, though, is that it was announced that William Regal will be on an actual Deberman Live show, which of course kind of alludes to the whole, you know, I don't know, openly acknowledged relationship between WWE Live and WWE. We all know it's happening, even though both sides are kind of weird about it. I don't know why, but Kevin, what do you think William Regal is going to do on the show?
I think it would be really cool if like you had him and maybe like Sal or Gabe or somebody else out there, and Regal like officially makes a partnership announcement, maybe even announcing that some WWE, or not WWE, rather NXT talent is going to be on maybe the WrestleMania cards for Evolve. And I think what may come of that is Gable and Jordan, who are on the shows, or at least on the Saturday show as well, I think they might, if that happens, build to a tag team match with them during WrestleMania weekend.
But it is just an autograph session. I mean, officially, they're just there for an autograph.
Right, that's what they say, but I think it's very suspicious that the most over NXT tag team is going to be there the same weekend that Evolve is crowning their tag team champions. And I do not suspect that the champions will face them, but I do think maybe a team like the Premier Athlete brand versus Gable and Jordan on the Saturday Evolve card or the Mercury Rising card along those lines would be pretty nifty for those in Dallas. So I kind of suspect something like that could go down.
Brian, do you see anything big happening at these Evolve shows? I mean, already the tag tournament and the talents announced, they're obviously three big shows. I think it's going to be really good. But with the NXT involvement, it adds a bit of intrigue to that.
A little bit, but I kind of just picture William Regal telling all the talent to come out, you know, line up in a row, and I'll take you, I'll take you, I'll take you, and I'll take you. See ya. That's kind of what I picture.
All right, now in your scenario, who are these people that William Regal is stealing?
Ah, that's a good question.
I know, that's why I asked it.
Zack Sabre Jr., of course, Tommy End, definitely not Chris Hero, and...
Apparently not Rocky Romero, because he re-signed with New Japan.
Maybe Peter Casa?
Well,
he's an impressive looking guy.
I can definitely see that, because he is a freak for his size, so... And maybe Drew Gulak. Well, I think he already had a shot, actually, so that's who I would pick. But
yeah.
Yo, by the way, can we talk about, for like 2 seconds, since I just watched it, how good Chris Hero versus Tommy End and PWG was? Nobody's talking about that match as much as they are Sabre versus Strong, and that is a crime, because that match was awesome.
That was awesome. And
yeah, because that match completely overshadows the whole show. Everybody is just so stuck on that one match, and it's like, well, there is, like, other matches on the show that's good. That happens a lot with wrestling fans and wrestling shows. Like, everybody picks that one match, and there'd be, like, two other matches on the show that just as good and sometimes better. But it's that one match.
This is the Bola match, right? The one I'm thinking of?
No, I actually have not watched Bola yet. I'm thinking of the Don't Sweat the Technique.
Oh, show. Really? Okay. Because the Bola
match is better. I actually did not know they wrestled each other Bola weekend.
Yeah, it was Hero and Thatcher, right? Yeah, it was, yeah.
No, I'm talking Hero and Tommy End.
Oh, Hero and End. Okay, yeah, that was.
Yeah,
Hero okay, and I switched Thatcher. Sick now.
Yeah, no, I think Hero and Thatcher wrestled. They wrestled Mania Weekend, yeah,
I totally remember
Bola,
that
and then
that
TPI,
didn't stop.
I think.
I remember that match did not just stop at all. I remember, like, right off the bat, and they just didn't stop. And I remember the whole crowd was looking at each other like this is something, like, totally out of this world, because that was one of the most brutal matches I've ever seen, like, live. Because they just stiffed the hell out of each other in that match. God, that
and
was...
Hero and Tommy End, is they're teaming in this tournament, aren't they?
Yes. What's their name? Do they have a team name?
I don't think... it's not listed as any team name.
Okay. God, that team's going to be so good. I think they're facing Thatcher and Sabre in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy crap. Holy crap.
Yeah.
You guys, that match is going to be great.
And it's a first round. I mean, goddamn, any match that has to follow that, good luck.
It'll main event. It has to.
Of course.
I hope so. I hope so. But yeah, no, really, really exciting shows. It's and the, like, you know, like we mentioned, the NXT involvement, it's there. So who knows what could happen. So I would encourage everyone, go check it out. WNLive.com. Go buy the iPay-per-views. Like I said, if there isn't snow for Kevin, knock on wood, hopefully you'll be covering them live for the site.
Yeah, if you're in the West Coast or the South and it's nicer weather and you're going out and you can't watch the shows, or you are watching the shows and just wanna chat, I'll be doing that at PW Ponderings on Twitter, and then we'll be posting the results on the website as well. And I'm super duper looking forward to all three shows. I love tournaments, so having like three tournaments in a weekend, that's just a beautiful thing.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Before we get into our review of AAW's Windy City Classic, Beyond Wrestling has announced January 31st, The Dream Left Behind, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Brian Fury, the final encounter, apparently, Sami Callihan and Chris Dickinson versus Team Lovely, Heidi Lovelace and Kimberly, that's very clever, Chris Hero versus Matt Tremont, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa versus The Hit Squad, AR Fox versus Tracy Williams, Matt Riddle versus Chuck O'Neill, Shinron versus Travis Gordon, and scheduled to compete, Drew Gulak, EYFBO, Jonathan Gresham, and more. So, sounds like a fun show. I mean, Ciara, finally, the end of Dickinson versus Kimberly. It's happening. Kind of.
Thank Jesus. It just went on so long, and where else could you go with this?
Apparently a tag match. Duh.
I guess.
There you go. So yeah, unless there's any other news that any of you that I forgot to mention that I didn't have in my notes, why don't we move into the review of AEW Windy City Classic? You know, Brian, I think all of us kind of caught most of the main matches, but Kevin, start off with you.
I only cherry picked some of the matches from the show, but overall, I liked what I saw. Wasn't like an amazing show or anything like that, but I definitely think super hot crowd always adds to a good environment to a wrestling show. And I think the AEW shows look beautiful. Whatever cameras they're using, they look fantastic. And all the matches that you expected to be really good, like Phoenix versus Tommaso Ciampa and Pentagon Jr. versus Hero, obviously got a ton of buzz. And the crowd is just super hot for that. And it's really good. Those two matches in and of itself really stood out to me. Main event with Trevor Lee, Eddie Kingston, and Ethan Page had a little too much shtick for my taste, but still was an all right title match. Shelley versus Linden was kind of the same as it was in AIW the night before. Better crowd, different dynamic with Linden being a babyface. But you know, nothing terribly great. You know, maybe like 2.75, 3 stars if we're gonna talk like that. But again, like I said, there's nothing that Shelley has really done since coming back to the U.S. full-time that's really blown me away. And the only other match I watched was the Hooligans versus OI4K tag title match, which was a pretty fun brawl. And I guess it was Dave Chris' farewell for AAW. So the table bump with Bucky Collins was pretty hilarious. And I really dig the Hooligans. They're a team I've been watching a little bit more of and liking their style. It's fun. So, yeah, good show. Not the best, but definitely if you're Ryan Rosansky actually wrote a full review for us over at pwponderings.com, and I really encourage people to check. He does a better job conveying my thoughts, and I kind of mostly agree with what he says. So, yeah, I think if you're looking to get into AEW, this is definitely a good show. It's got the Lucha Underground guys to kind of help break you in, but if you like the show, then you're definitely going to like what comes of AEW pretty much on a monthly basis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually looking forward to checking out the what is it, the Six Way with Congo Kong, and I think Marion Fontaine is also in it, so looking forward to that. Yeah, but yeah, like I mentioned, kind of looking forward to that match. Brian, what matches did you like? I mean, I know that you didn't check out the entire show either, but your thoughts?
I actually squeezed in the whole
Oh, did
show.
you? Awesome.
Yeah, so I was watching actually literally the three-way before we actually started the show. But yeah, I gotta say first, the production in terms of like the production of the promos, excellent, excellent stuff. The way that they shot some of the promos was just like, wow, I never even thought of that. They actually did lens flare for Ethan Page's promo, so good stuff there, because then like the belt was like, glowing and shit. And it's very J.J. Abrams-esque, but to a purpose, and it makes sense because like the logo on AEW's kind of got that shiny lens flare anyway, so that was pretty dope. And then the way that whoever produced the or directed the promo for OI4K when they were like going up the steps and they were coming closer to the camera and the camera was still, that was pretty dope. So good on the production side. The cameras, like Kevin mentioned already, like excellent use of the cameras. Excellent camera choices, and yeah, whatever camera they're using, keep using, because they got some excellent HD footage on the show. In terms of the matches, Marcus Crane and Shane Hollister, they're an interesting team to me, but I don't, I God, man, Marcus Crane's look, God, is horrible. He's got to change his look. Like, he looks like what Phil Colvin said, a homeless man who seems to be on drugs. So Marcus Crane, you're good in the ring, but man, you really got to change your look, because you look like you just walked off the street and just walked straight into the ring. A terrible look. Congo Kong is fucking awesome, although you might be limited to what he can do in terms of like a program, because once he challenges for the world title and fails, there's nothing else you can really do with the guy. But I could easily see Congo Kong as like a heritage champion, being that secondary title kind of guy, and have interesting heritage title matches. I can totally picture that. I mean, imagine him and AR Fox having some crazy matches. I mean, just with his size and what he can do and what AR Fox can do in terms of bumping. So that's a potential match I think could happen down the line. Yeah, I gotta agree. Alex Shelley seems to be phoning it in, but I don't want to quite say that. I think he maybe he's just, at that age where he's been doing this long enough where he can do whatever he wants and still get the cheers. And it's kind of the way it is sometimes on the indies, where you just, being a veteran for so long, it kind of affects you in some way. So I can't really blame him for there, because it did seem like Lewis Lynn was doing a lot of the work in that match. And yeah, the Chris Hero Pentagon Jr. match, that was just out of this world, outstanding. Not the match of the year, but for a 12-minute spectacle, totally, totally great. Phil Colvin and Derek St. Holmes were just losing it on commentary. I gotta say, Phil Colvin as a commentator is excellent, even though he'll kind of like break the fourth wall on some things and like say, behind the scenes stuff you probably shouldn't saying on commentary, but he's just so excellent. He's very reminiscent of that Joey Styles ECW kind of way of calling a match, and just what and sweet Jeebus, all that kind of stuff. Excellent stuff by Phil Colvin, one of my favorite commentators on the indies. Just great stuff from him. And the world title match was great. I thought the maybe too much shtick, but I actually thought that like it worked for the Ethan Page character, because that's what he is, just a dirty cheating heel. And that was really, it really came into play in this match, and the way they kind of protected Trevor Lee at the end, it's pretty smart. He got the, he does the small pack, he does the small package on Eddie Kingston, but then Ethan Page comes and rolls the small package over on Trevor Lee, sits on him, and you get the 2-on-1 pin. So you kind of protect Trevor Lee, even though he's getting this kind of like skyrocket push to the top already right off the bat. So because there's a lot of potential for Trevor Lee down the line, and it seems like he's like probably one of the top baby faces to be a future world champ. And I thought they maybe eliminated him a little too early, because like the last stretch of the match was just kind of like a little too long of just Ethan Page and Eddie Kingston just exchanging strikes. But overall, a really good main event. Definitely worth checking out this whole show. And yeah, just Chris Hero Pentagon Jr., man, what can you say? And he made that shirt just for that match. That was pretty dope what Chris Hero did, and the makeup and everything. So
Oh, so to interrupt real quick, by the way, it appears that Chris Hero and Tommy End do have a team name of Heroes Eventually Die. So there is that.
that's
awesome.
awesome. That's great. They should use that more often. But yeah, I know, Ciara, you didn't really get to watch the entire show, so I don't know if you have any thoughts on initially what you've seen. But why don't you let listeners know what we're reviewing next week? Should be a lot of fun.
Oh, well, I can't really do the show justice since I didn't see much of it, and I would be cheating people just even trying to just throw something out there. But next week we got a treat. I suggested that we look at some women's wrestling, and they made bad suggestions, so I made a better one. We're going to watch a match from a recent Stardom show, which was on December 23rd, and it's going to be Maiko Satomura taking on Io Shirai for the World of Stardom Championship. And it was a match I suggested to the guys because I had just watched it, and I had watched it about three or four times. I couldn't get enough of it, and my God, Satomura is amazing. It's nobody can dispute that at all.
Looking forward to that. Kevin, I believe you're also going to join us next week as well?
I will, yes. I'll be, I'm totally down to watch that match, so I'll be doing that. Obviously, we can kind of debrief the Evolve weekend since I'll be watching all those shows. And I'll talk to you a little bit about the Nova Pro Wrestling show coming on January 31st.
Sounds good. So, of course, everyone, thank you for listening. As always, we appreciate all the support. And, you know, with Jerome kind of taking care of himself for right now, we'll keep the website going. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Like I said, some new writers coming on board. Hopefully a lot of new contact. So before we get out of here, of course, get the plugs out. Brian, what do you have going on?
I will be, like usual, doing the live results for PWG on the 12th. And I'll be on next week, of course. And, you know, pretty much if you need some graphic design work done, hit me up on Twitter, Brian DeBrain. And, you know, graphic design work, posters, something like that, just let me know. Maybe we can work something out. And check out our store. It's pwponderings.com/store. And we got various designs, and you can get it as a T-shirt, cell phone case, all kinds of stuff. Haas Division ever since 2014. So check it out. And that's about it for me.
Sarah, what are you doing?
Well, of course, I got the Ring Bells Roundup coming back this week. And, yeah, I got a lot of crap to talk about. I got WSU. I got Shine 32 updates. Also got a lot of Stardom news. I probably overdid it last week, but I got even more because Stardom waits till after I post the Roundup to put great news out. Stardom is going to Europe. They're sending their stars to Europe to work a couple of shows on May 20th through the 22nd. So I'll have news on that. Building up to it, they're going to have a Stardom versus the Foreigners show next month. So it's going to be Stardom's best against all the Gaijin talent that they brought in, like Evie, Kelly Skater, Viper, Caitlin Diamond, and whoever else shows up next month. Next month, we're going to have even more people come in. So that's a lot of stuff to be talking about, and check that out. And also, we're going to be recording a new women's podcast this week. So if you guys are following me on Twitter, you happen to be following Jennifer on Twitter, Dave on Twitter, or you're following Pro Wrestling Ponderance, send in your questions about the podcast, women's wrestling, anything, and we'll answer it on the show. It's going to be a mailbag episode. Might talk about some news, but we're just going to keep it more so questions from the fans. So, yeah, that's kind of where you guys can find me at on Twitter, CIARA92189. That's it.
Boom. Kevin, of course, you know, you already mentioned you'll be covering the Evolve shows for us, talking about Nova Pro Wrestling. Maybe give our listeners a little preview of that and then where they can talk to you on Twitter and all that good stuff.
So in addition to covering all the Evolve shows for Pro Wrestling Ponderings this weekend, I will also have a review of AIW's Hell on Earth 11 being published on the website this Thursday, so be sure to check that out. You can follow me on Twitter at KFord13, and like I said, I'll be back next week to talk the Nova Pro Wrestling show that is coming up on Sunday, January 31st, so I will be in attendance doing commentary. But if you want to see some of the details and most importantly purchase some tickets, go to novaprowrestling.tumblr.com. And I'll be back next week to run down the event and give you a nice little preview.
Yep, sorry about that. But yeah, thank you everyone for the support. As always, thank you everyone for joining us. Kevin, of course, Ciara, Brian as well. And we'll talk to you again real soon.